sermon. That's about what I was going to say, so we're all free to go. Let me try to add a couple things to that. Great minds think alike, correct? Well, I'm glad to be here again with you all on this Sunday. As I told Linda when she called me about a month or so ago and then turned around the next day and called me for this Sunday, I said, oh, you have much faith that you want me to come back. So I am glad to be here, glad to share God's word with you. So let's go into our second scripture reading this morning. It's from Matthew, it's chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. This is the scripture where Jesus first begins to preach the word. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what he said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, to the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And now Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They went in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering pain and demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. So if you were here last week, we talked about in the gospel reading, you know, how Jesus was first identified to all the masses of being what he was to become, which was our teacher and our Savior. So John the Baptist had spread that good news to all those who would listen. So up until this point, you know, Jesus' ministry had not been widely recognized by everyone, and he hadn't performed any miracles or really began teaching in any way. And earlier in Matthew chapter 2, it tells the story of how Jesus went to Galilee. So Galilee was up on the northern region of Egypt, and, you know, this is where he was to later begin his ministry. So when he established up there in the coastal region of Galilee, you know, he walked about, saw brothers, you know, Simon and Andrew, and told them to follow him, you know, follow him. You know, then in our scripture today, you know, it says in verse 20, they immediately dropped their nets. They didn't hesitate. They received a directive. They followed that directive. Then again in verse 21, he went on to say, he went from there and saw two other brothers, James and John, and immediately they did the same thing without hesitation. But, you know, I guess when the invitation comes from Jesus himself, it's probably pretty easy, right? But for you and I, the invitation may be a little bit more complicated. It's complicated, of course, by us. The invitation is still very simple. It's the same invitation that he gave those first four disciples. Nothing has changed. We're the ones that make it more complicated by putting us in the middle of it, in a mix, and saying, well, what if? I can't, I don't have time, or I'm too busy, and I don't know how to, and so forth and so on. But that same invitation is still there today. You know, we have distractions of family. We have distractions of, you know, wondering about our personal security and how we're going to feed ourselves. And those disciples easily, quickly gave all and said, I'll come with you. But back to us for a minute. You know, for those of us that struggle with trying to balance family, work, and play and all those things we all do every day, day in and day out, it's difficult. You know, it's very difficult. You know, in the daily struggle, it's easy in the beginning when you first start trying to follow. It's easy to say, you know, nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. You make those reasons or excuses, it becomes pretty easy to you. But then what I find out is, if you're like me, you know, the more you study the Word, the more you're trying to read into, boy, what am I supposed to be doing here? Then that decision gets harder. It gets harder. You know, in the beginning, you don't know enough to say, I can just walk away. But now as we start to grow and continue to grow, and the older we get, start to get some gray hair, you start to get maybe a little bit wiser, what I've always said, that yes, it's a harder decision to make. That's a good thing. That means God's working within us. That means the Holy Spirit is trying to tug us a little bit harder to get us off of that fence and get us over, you know, where we're working for Him day in and day out. That means we're growing in our faith. You know, it means we're recognizing in our lives the importance of things that are outside of us. So I believe that everyone here this morning in some capacity is already a fisherman. I feel like that everyone here is already doing a good part, both within this church and with outside of this church. So you know there's no easy way that you can sit on the middle of the fence. You've got to go ahead and jump over, you know, then take off again. The longer you stay on the fence, the harder that struggle begins to get. And, you know, flip-flopping on faith and not faith, it's a hard thing to do. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Well, that puts it kind of plain, doesn't it? Or maybe not. Maybe it just makes the decision harder, depending on how far you're over on that fence already. You know, but knowing the answer can kind of make the struggle a little bit harder. So you know what's right. You know, we've been told that. It just makes it harder for us to make that decision. So I really don't think it's any easier in Jesus' day for those back in Galilee to make that decision than it is today. You know, that region was known to have unsettled people there. There was a lot of wars always in that region. And it's no different from today, where we don't really have a war here, but there's a war maybe going on inside of us. You know, what are we doing? What are we doing? What should we be doing? So, see, it's no different from us than those first four disciples that came into our lives. You know, Jesus is calling you and I to follow Him today in these scriptures. You know, the problem for us is that, you know, we've got to get out of the water, out in the water to be able to fish. You know, you can't fish from in here. Can't fish from playing on the internet. Can't fish from talking on the phone, texting, and so forth. You know, you can't fish for the people that are around us every day. Although, as I said in the walk with Jesus this morning with the young folks, you know, there's always people around us that are going to need our help. And that's what we're supposed to do, is when we can, stand up and help them. But if you're going to really fish for Jesus, I think what these scriptures are telling us today is that we've got to get outside of these walls. We've got to get outside of our comfort zone. We've got to get out there and add into the real waters, which are places outside of our daily routines. You know, we can offer our help that way because of the knowledge we've gathered from being inside these walls. So what I'm suggesting this morning is to, you know, consider if your style of fishing that you're currently doing is good enough. You know, the disciples we hear about this morning made quick decisions to follow Jesus. They had the faith to go out into the unknown. They trusted Jesus. Should we be any different? Just as we can trust when the Holy Spirit touches our heart and we accept the challenge to step out of your comfort zone, that's when your faith is really kicking in, I think. You know, Jesus, throughout the Holy Spirit, will call us out. He calls each and every one of us. He's been doing it. I know a lot of you have answered those calls. You know, the question is, will we answer enough calls? Can we do anything to say we've done enough to serve? You know, he's going to call us to higher service within the church. You know, as I said this morning, there's plenty of opportunity. There's plenty of places that we can help within this church as it's going through the transition between pastors. You know, not everyone is a born leader. There are a lot of followers that add so much to it. You know, one of the things that I try to use in my secular life and at work is to, you know, involve as many people as possible in the decision process. So as a leader, the leader can have ideas, but it's in each and every one of us that are members of this church here, it's each and every one of you all that are members of this church, to be able to step up and help make that idea better, expand that idea. I call it collaborative thinking. So you can always end up with a better product the more people you involve within it. God's work is no different. It's the same thing. So if you say, I don't want to be a leader, I'm not going to raise my hand and take charge, be a great follower. Come in and follow and improve upon that. You know, Linda, when she called me, you know, she was struggling for somebody to take this Sunday. So she called on a Friday and we talked, and I said I would come last Sunday, and then she texted me back on Saturday and said, I'm having a hard time finding someone for the next Sunday, will you come? I texted her back real quick and I said, oh, you of big faith, you know, you haven't even met me and yet you want me here twice. So she laughed and said something back, but Linda needs your help. There's not a person in this church that couldn't have a sermon in their hearts. It takes a little study, a little thought, reading scriptures, studying the word, and it'll come. So, although I never seek out the pulpit, I found that Jesus makes me study by calling me out, so I don't turn it down because I'll study more. Maybe you'll find that same advantage. You know, do you think that Andrew and Simon were biblical scholars when they were asked to follow Jesus? I doubt it. They're just simple fishermen, no different from you and I. You know, Jesus doesn't expect to have experienced followers. He needs dedicated followers. That's all he's asking. It's just like the sign we've seen in windows saying sometimes, help wanted, no experience needed. I think that applies here. The experience you can gather is all in one book. So we already have all the qualifications that Jesus is asking for. And that biggest qualification is willingness. If you have the willingness to follow, that's all it takes. I know the willingness is there because you had the willingness to come in today, right? You had the willingness to come back Sunday after Sunday and to try to learn more. So maybe all of us just need that little bit more nudging to take us to that higher level. You know, there's no need to fear failure. Because if we truly commit, Jesus is going to provide for us. You know, don't let those around you that may say, well, I can't do that, I'm not going to do that. You know, don't let a naysayer discourage you from saying, you know, I should do that. I'm supposed to do that. You say, I don't have the time to commit. But upon commitment, what you'll find is you'll find the time because you have the same time as everyone else around you. It's how you choose to use that time. You know, you'll find out also that every turn that you take, there's going to be someone there to help you. Once you commit, the help is there. It'll come from the Holy Spirit. It'll come from your fellow church members. It'll come from friends. So I'm not saying it will be easy, but I'm saying if you commit, you will not fail if you truly commit. So through Scripture, we are called upon to reach out to the lost people of the world. We obligate ourselves the minute we profess to be Christians. So just as Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and same purpose. That purpose is to follow Jesus Christ, to bring his light to those that are wandering around in the darkness so others can see. You know, Jesus saw great potential in these simple fishermen. Jesus also sees great potential in each and every one of us. Just the same, Jesus is calling us out this morning through song that we heard, through scripture that we read, and he's saying, follow me. Let us pray. Jesus, we fully acknowledge you are our great teacher. As your flock, we pray this morning that we will always have the courage to follow you through your teachings in word and through your Holy Spirit. Poor in spirit, we so much need your tender care, for you have promised to receive us into your fold. We thank you for your words of assurance in Scripture as we commit to you this day to become fishermen in your fleet. Amen.